नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 17 The Lord agrees to become Aditi's son, and we're up to text number 1. Shri Shukavacha Idyukta Sad. The book is falling apart here. Idyukta Sadit Rajan Swabharth. Bratra kasya painavai anvatishta vratam idam dvadashaham atandrita shishukuvacha Idyukta Saditi Rajan Svabhratra Kasyapena Vai Anvatishta Ratham Idam Dvadashaham Atandrita Shri Shuku Vacha Saiti Rajan Kavena Vai Nidam Daitam Arasaham Itandrita Shri Shuku Vacha Idyuktva Saditi Rajan Vabhadra Kasyapena Vai Hanavatishta Ritamidam Dvadashahamatandrita Vacha Yuktva Saditi Rajan Sabhatra Kashyapena Vai Anudvatishta Vratam Idam Dvashavadam Atandrita Ladies Shugavacha Idyuktva Saditi Rajan Sabhatra Bhakashapena Vai Anatishta Vritam Idam Tvarasaham Atandritaha Shri Shukavacha Shri Shukadeva Goswami said, Iti, thus, Yukta, being advised. Sa, that lady. Aditi, Aditi. Rajan, O king. Svabhratra, by her husband. Kashyapena, Kashyapamuni. Vai, indeed. Anu, similarly. Atishtat, executed. Vratam, idam, this Payavrata ritualistic ceremony. Dvadasha aham, for 12 days. Atandrita, without any laziness. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sugadeva Goswami said, O King, after Aditi was thus advised by her husband Kashyapa Muni, she strictly followed his instructions without laziness, and in this way performed the Payavrata ritualistic ceremony. Purport. For advancement in anything, especially in spiritual life, one must strictly follow the bona fide instructions of the teacher. Aditi did this. She strictly followed the instructions of her husband and guru, as confirmed in the Vedic injunctions, yasya deve para bhaktir yata deve tata kuro. One should have complete faith in the guru who helps the disciple make progress in spiritual life. As soon as the disciple thinks independently, not caring for the instructions of the spiritual master, he is a failure. Yasya prasadan nagati kutopi. Aditi very strictly followed the instructions of her husband and spiritual master, and thus she was successful. So the verse again. Sri Shukud Uvacha Ityuktva Sariti Rajan Sabratra Kashyapenavai Anvatishta Ritam Idam Dvadashaham Atandrita. Shukadeva Goswami said, O King, after Aditi was thus advised by her husband Kashyapa Muni, she strictly followed his instructions without laziness. In this way performed the Payavrata ritualistic ceremony. Om Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamite Namane Namaste Sarasutundeve Gauravani Bhacharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskadhyate Satarane. Here it mentions that strictly follow the instructions of the spiritual master. Of course, first we have to find out what the instructions are and what they actually mean, and how we find out what the instructions are. So, in the Nectar of Instruction, Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī says, Tannāma Rūpacāri Sakirtananu Smrityo Kramena Rasana Manasi Niyoja Tishtan Vraje Tananag Anuragi Kalam akilam itipadesha saram. So the holy name, form, quality, and pastimes of Krishna, they're all just like the nature of sugar candy. Actually, no, they're all transcendently relishable. So, tannama rupachara taidu sukirtananu smrityo kramena rasana manasi niyoja. So the holy name, form, qualities and pastimes of Krishna, they're all transcendental. And one has to be able to chant them in such a way as that we actually get some experience. Tannama rupacharitadi sukirtananu. So we chant them very nicely, sukirtananu, smrityo kramena, then one may gradually remember. Smrito kramena rasana manasi niyoja, and then there is a taste that develops. rasa. So in the beginning, as Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Prabhupāda says, we have to learn how to hear. Because if we can't hear, then it's very difficult to find out what Krishna is saying. They say that the whole world is full of Krishna singing, but everyone's interpreting in a different way. That everyone's dancing with Krishna, but those who are dancing imitating Krishna, they're dancing with Krishna's illusory energy. And those who are dancing in harmony with Krishna, they're actually dancing the rasa dance. That same rasa dance that Krishna performed 5,000 years ago is now being performed by Harinam Sankirtan. Because in the middle of the Harinam Sankirtan is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Radha, Krishna, Nahayanya. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not different from Radha and Krishna. He is Radha and Krishna. And therefore, the rasa dance is going on when he's dancing. And if we're dancing with him in the Sankirtan movement, we're actually engaging in the rasa dance. But of course, we have to find out, if this is the first time you heard that it's part of the rasa dance, well, probably we haven't gotten much rasa from it yet. In any case, the first thing is sukirtananu. Actually, first thing is to hear very nicely. So hearing is necessary, and then giving up, as Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Prabhupāda says, all kinds of material motivations. Material world means the struggle to become the Supreme. The Supreme means at least our main, apparently our main opponent in the material world is time. Everyone's struggling against time. Hiranyakashipu realized that his main struggle was going to be against time, which kills everyone. If you're going to become the supreme in the universe, first of all, you have to be able to control something, like one atom at least. It's very difficult to claim yourself to be the supreme, and at the same time not being able to control even one atom in your body. And the atoms in our body, if that's what they're made out of, they're constantly changing and causing us to go through old age, disease, and death, and having to take another body. So if we're not able to control old age, disease, and death, what is our claim to being the God? If we came here to become God, and we can't control old age, disease, and death, even for a moment, then what is the validity of our claim to be the Supreme? Therefore, Hiranyakashipu, he went through an austerity, put up his arms for 120 years of demigods, not eating anything, not drinking anything, not breathing, because after some time, the moths and the ants, they ate his lungs. Not even thinking, because they also ate his brains. As I said before, if he had any brains, he wouldn't have stood there for 120 years of the demigods. But somehow or another, he was there, and the soul was still there, hiding out in the bones. And he did this in order to become immortal. But did he become immortal? No. Lord Nrisimhadeva came, and he developed acute stomach ailment and died. Gastric complications. So he tried so hard and went through such austerity in order to become the Supreme, and he failed. He could not stop death. And similarly, what is our ability to stop even one atom? Let the scientists stop one atom from changing for one moment, and then we could say they're actually controlling something. But if they can't do that, then their whole claims for controlling is false. Recognizing that we're not going to be able to stop old age, disease, and death, no matter what we do in the material world, one has to figure out what is some means to actually get out of our present predicament. So Krishna Bhagavad Gita says we're eternally in a very difficult predicament, being illusioned by the illusory, by the material energy. Therefore, we have to hear, but of course, one thing is we have to want to hear. It takes some desire, because at the same time, there are so many desires, as Krishna says, flowing through our minds, and we get caught up. Maya is always talking to us. She's a very good preacher. She's been preaching to innumerable living entities since time immemorial, and she's been very convincing. Otherwise, none of us would be here. She's a book distributor also. She's written innumerable books. Her followers have written innumerable books in her parampara, and they've distributed them, at least in present times. We may distribute some 500,000 or 500,000,000, whatever it may be, but she's distributed billions of books, all kinds of books. And everyone has become bewildered. Yoga Chalati Manasa, by her preaching. And not only some people, unfortunate people, but even ourselves, thoughts may pass through our minds. We can notice during class sometimes, someone's giving class, talking about Krishna being God. And Maya's talking, we can see they're talking, Maya's right there preaching to them. Oh, close your eyes, don't listen to this. It's all nonsense. Don't believe him. Just relax, close your eyes, he'll go away. You'll be able to enter into trance. When we wake up, everything will be all right. So Maya is preaching to everyone, just believe you can become the Supreme. Just take the right course on the internet. Just do a little bit more exercises. You're just missing this vitamin. And then when everything comes together, then you'll be able to actually manifest everyone that you're the Supreme Lord. Ishvaraham aham bhogi siddham balavan sukhi. Therefore, it's a struggle, because someone is, we hear the same thing over and over again. Prabhupada said repetition is necessary so we can understand something thoroughly. But we're thinking, oh, they're going to give us the same class today. Next, I know what he's going to say. He's going to tell us we're not the body, right? I heard this a billion times. The same old thing, nothing new. Maybe, no, he's telling, what is he saying? Radha and Krishna is in the groves of Vrindavan. Oh, what are they going to do? Is there a photo? Finally, something interesting. Something more advanced than, oh, aham brahmasmi. He's an impersonalist, I know it. Keep on saying aham brahmasmi all the time. No, but imagine if we actually realize that we're not this body. Then we'd become prasanatma. We'd always be joyful. There would be no hankering. There would be no lamentation. We see everyone as spiritual beings. And then we could actually begin real devotional service. So it's not so easy to hear with rapt attention and actually hear what's being said. Not only just hear superficially, but actually experience what is actually the philosophy. To actually see it. I remember one time one of our book distributors, one of our main distributors, he put out a tape and he said, you know, you hand someone a Bhagavad Gita and say, you know, you read and look into the Bhagavad Gita, you know, just read this, and when you read it, you can look around, you can see it all happening all around you. Yeah, far out, isn't it? So that's what it actually is. If we actually hear Bhagavad Gita, if we actually hear any of this philosophy, we'll actually be able to see it happening all around us. We'd actually realize it. So hearing is not so easy with rapt attention, which means practically a completely submissive attitude, as if we're hearing it for the first time. In the spiritual world, Srimati Radharani's not thinking, oh, I just woke up today, it's going to be the same old rasa dance, and I got to go into the kitchen again. I got to cook for him. I got to think of a new preparation every time. He's never satisfied if it's the same old preparation. And this has been going on since time immemorial. I quit. Eternally, I can't do this anymore. No, it's always new and fresh. Otherwise, how can anyone live in the spiritual world? It was the same old thing, all getting up today, going out with those cows, so many cows, too many cows. I'm sick of cows. Let me ride a horse today. No, every day it's new and fresh. Everything is new. So what we're thinking is we're hearing the same old thing. It means that we haven't heard anything yet. We haven't really heard it, at least, or not heard it very deeply, because it's nitya nava nava yamana. It's always supposed to be new and fresh. So we hear it, then what is the result? Varna dasa. Varna dasa means we actually understood it. It becomes, oh, wow, I heard that so many times, but now I actually understood it. One time, Giriraj Maharaj was walking on the Juhu Beach with Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada gave some philosophical explanation of a point, and Giriraj Maharaj said, thank you, Srila Prabhupada, I didn't understand that before because I was in Maya. And Srila Prabhupada started to chuckle and said, oh, you were in Maya? He said, you're always in Maya. So it is not that suddenly we're going to completely get out of Maya. We're out of Maya when at every moment we accept that everything is Krishna's energy, and therefore whatever energy we have some influence over, then we actually engage in Krishna's service under the direction of Krishna's representatives. Then we can say we're making some progress out of the illusory energy. And when we're doing things which are not directed by the authorities coming from Krishna and Krishna himself within our heart, consciously thinking, I'm doing this to please Krishna and this is what Krishna wants me to do, it means we must be under the influence of the illusory energy, at least to some degree. And that's not the end of it. Oh, now I've accepted everything belongs to Krishna. But then we have to enthusiastically do things to please Krishna with his energy. Not that, okay, everything belongs to you, and if I don't do it for you, I'm going to get arrested, so okay. What to do? I wish you weren't God, but what can I do? Don't hit me, God. That kind of attitude, that's the impersonalist attitude. Got to get away from this guy, he's God, he's controlling everything, let me flee into the Brahman. Now he's not controlling anything. Just like the rabbit, he's surrounded by a bigger animals. He closes his eyes and says, oh, they went away, no problem, no worries. They're gone. So our conception is, oh, if we don't believe in God, he just goes away. If we forget about him, he's not there. But he's always there. And when we forget about him, we forget that he's the controller, and we forget. And when we do remember that we should do things for him, the next thing is to do it to please him. So the first thing is to find out what Krishna wants. And here it says, we find out from Krishna's representatives. As Prabhupada said, from Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, as well as under the guidance of the representative of Krishna. And that will be as good as if we were personally present with Krishna on the battlefield Kurukshetra. We should not lament, oh, it was so long ago, Krishna was speaking to Arjuna. If only I was there, then I could have accepted Bhagavad Gita. Or we hear the same thing, oh, Prabhupada was here. If only I was here, then I could have had Prabhupada's association. No, actually, Prabhupada is still here. The question is where we are. Prabhupada's here, Krishna is here, but where are we? So we can gradually be brought to the reality of the situation by if we hear from the authorities, from Prabhupada's books, for instance, and we hear from Bhagavad Gita, from Krishna's words, and Prabhupada's explanation of Krishna's words, and we put it into practice. we agree to follow the instructions. In other words, humbly listening, trying to understand what's being said, and then researching until we finally understand what Krishna is trying to tell us when we're within our heart. And when it becomes clear, then we act with conviction to please Krishna. And what is the result? The result is that acceptance, in other words, that understanding and acceptance leads us into remembering Krishna. So first we have to become interested in finding out what Krishna wants, and not just superficially do whatever we think we want to do at the moment, and then afterwards hope that Krishna likes it. No, we have to consciously think, what does Krishna want me to do? And then in a humble understanding that everything here is meant for Krishna's service, everything under my influence is meant for Krishna's service. Now, research from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra what Krishna wants. And if it's done in a humble way, in a submissive way, in a prayerful way, not that, you know, I dare you, Krishna, to tell me what to do, so I won't follow it. I'll do exactly what you don't want me to do. But don't tell me what to do, then I'll feel guilty. So I'm going to do whatever I want to do, and if you accept it, so much the better. All right, we're together. And if not, you know, tough luck. No, we have to do it in a prayerful way. Please, Krishna, tell me. Give me the intelligence, the Dhammi Buddhi Yogam Tam. And how do we manifest that? Just by prayer? No, we make an effort to do things according as best we know what Krishna wants us. We try to perform some service. At the same time, we do it with as much enthusiasm as we can muster. And in a prayerful way to Krishna, please kindly give me the intelligence so everything becomes clear. And when Krishna is pleased with our sincerity of effort and purpose, then Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. Then he gives us more and more intelligence and he purifies our heart so it becomes realized. So that intelligence gives us acceptance. Yes, I'm on the right path. I should do it more steadily and more enthusiastically. And then Krishna purifies our heart more. He reveals himself more. So Varna Dasa, acceptance. I'm actually accepting myself as Krishna's servant. I'm following the process. And that naturally leads to Smarna Dasa. Then we actually remember Krishna. We think about him. And at first it's interrupted because the natural tendency is when we make a little advancement, then immediately I think, wow, look at me. I'm so advanced. Yes, here my foot, you can touch it. Not too many times, though. We make a little advancement, then immediately, utsahamayi, we become puffed up with our advancement. I'm actually a pure devotee. I always knew it. The problem is no one else knew it. But now they should understand it. Look how advanced I am. I can explain everything perfectly because I'm so realized even I can't believe it. And by my mercy, others are becoming enlightened too. Even Krishna seems happy when he hears my class. Even he's learning. No, we have to realize that it's a fight against Maya. Whatever great realization we have is probably quite insignificant. But it's something. And then when we build upon it, gradually we realize how insignificant we actually are and how much we really don't know. And the more we realize how much we really don't know about who Krishna is, about who I am, what's actually going on here, then the more prayerful we become. The more interested we become, the strictly we in devotional service, then the stricter we become, and then we gradually actually make some real advancement. But if it's kind of like, you know, I'm doing pretty good, everything's cool, prasadam is pretty good. I mean, when they ask me, I'll give them some suggestions, and you know, my bed is pretty good. I go to sleep, nothing. What's wrong? It's great. The world's pretty good. I can come back in the next lifetime as long as there's good prasadam. No worries. Or as I said in the other day, Prabhupada was saying, you know, in that when he came back from his doctor visit, and there was that title of the movie, Is There Sex After Death? And Prabhupada said you should tell, when he came back and gave the class, you should tell all the people that you meet that there is sex after death in 8,400,000 species of life. And therefore they won't be afraid of death. So we have to get over this complacency, which is due to the fact that we're comfortable with the material energy. Because we think, I have enough of it. I have everything I need of the material energy. What more could I want? And if Krishna can help me in my material project to become the supreme here, then he's welcomed. His input is welcomed. So we should not be comfortable with our material circumstances. Otherwise, we'll have to be uncomfortable for at least 7 months in the next womb we're in, or 9 months. And at the same time, after realizing that we're not this, you know, this material nature is not my shelter, it's not going to protect me and save me and make me comfortable, at the same time, we can look for happiness with the material energy, even though in our temporary circumstances. Yes, it's only temporary, but let me enjoy it while I can. No, we have to be positive to actually positively follow the instructions with some enthusiasm, utsaha, but utsaha to please the spiritual master and Krishna. And then the result is we'll actually become Krishna conscious. And the more we do that, it goes from smarnam to sa to dhyana, dharna, anusmriti, smarna, anusmriti, and then finally samadhi. That is, at first, it remembers that Krishna is interrupted, and then it becomes steady, then it becomes concentrated, then it becomes consistently increasing in its concentration, and then one is constantly making progress in his relation with Krishna. And then sampatidas, then eventually we come to the bhava stage where we realize our relationship with Krishna, and we become a servant of one of the residents of Vrindavan. We follow them. Because Prabhupada was asked, who is that resident of Vrindavan? Prabhupada said, I'm that resident of Vrindavan. We should not take it so lightly, the orders of the spiritual master, the instructions, as they said at the beginning. Even to realize, if we realize we're not this body, we'd be prasanatma at every moment. We wouldn't have any problems. But that's considered insignificant compared to actually Krishna consciousness. Although we're not this body as a background of our devotional service, but our real realization is how to love Krishna, how to cooperate with the devotees, how to save the innocent, and how to avoid the atheists. If we actually understand those things and learn the techniques of those four things, then our life will actually become perfect. And everything else will follow. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for an excellent class. I think you mentioned that, well, actually, we can see, look outside, it's a beautiful world and everything. It's a two-part question. I wonder if you heard several years ago, the World Bank came out with a study that we have polluted the world past the halfway point. I guess we have another halfway to go to finish it off. And the second part is... I'm sorry?
How many years ago was that? The Bank of America study.
A couple years ago, maybe two or three.
Oh, probably 75% there by now.
And my second question is, do you think Krishna has a way to deal with that fact?
The way he deals with it? Well.
No, does he have a way to deal with it? I'm not sure what the way is, but does he have a
way? He has a way of dealing with everything. He's the one who's dealing with everything.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Anything else? You had a question. Yeah.
Your opening comment of that we're engaging in the Sankirtan movement is engaging in the rasa dance. It seems to me that that could be open to all kinds of misinterpretations, that really the Siddhanta of our Sampradaya is that we're assisting those that are engaging in the rasa dance. And should we ever think that we ourselves are gopis and that we are engaging in the rasa dance? But, I mean, even the six Goswamis thought, you know, I've never attained Krishna. He's just over the next hill. Where are you, Radha?
No, Prabhupada, I'm just quoting from Prabhupada. You can read in the Krishna book. He says everyone is dancing with Krishna, and those who are dancing imitating Krishna, they're dancing with his maya. And those who are dancing actually following Krishna's footsteps are actually dancing with Krishna, those who are actually his instruments. So that is the rasa dance. If you're dancing with Krishna, that's the rasa dance. It doesn't mean everyone is a gopi. Doesn't mean everyone is in the spiritual world is participating in Krishna's rasas. So whether we realize it or not depends upon how much we actually dedicate ourselves. As Prabhupada wrote to me, he said, the more you work seriously to bring Krishna's other children back to the spiritual kingdom, then he'll bestow all his blessings upon you, that Krishna is never ungrateful for efforts to serve him, rest assured. So the more we're actually engaged in the Sankirtan movement, the more we're actually with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And wherever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, then Radha and Krishna are there also. The whole spiritual world is there with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we surrender to our acharyas and their instructions, then we get the mercy of the six Goswamis and the Panchatattva, and then we actually enter into the spiritual world. So even more than the rasa dance, it's the whole spiritual world. So it's not something we made up, nor are we implying that we're gopis or any particular rasa, but it's the rasa dance. Everyone in the spiritual world is dancing. The coward boys are dancing too with Krishna. Even the peacocks dance with Krishna. The peacocks aren't gopis, but they dance with him too. As it says in the Brahma Samhita, that people, when they walk there, their walking is just like dancing. And then Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī said, if their walking is like dancing, then imagine what their dancing is like. That everyone there, they're talking is just like singing. And Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī said, if their talking is like singing, imagine what their singing is like. Anything else? Yes.
Thank you so much for your class, Goswami. Is there any mention in the texts of a soul leaving a body prematurely before and the body still walking around?
Yeah, there's something like that. Why do you ask, though?
Just sheer curiosity.
Well, there's everything happens in this world. It says on the battlefield, the battle between the demons and the demigods on the shore of the ocean of milk, that they were so enthusiastic of fighting that even some of them had their heads cut off. And the soul in the subtle body picked up the gross body and used it to fight, to carry on the fighting. But that's pretty rare. Most of us not.
Thank you.
Most of us are not so determined. So I think we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Krandaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.